Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Hafiz Marzuki. Now, we've just heard from Professor Dr. Adiba Kamaruzzaman, Dean of Medicine at University of Malaya. She too still processing the special announcement from the Prime Minister. Of course, what was announced was the travel restriction order that will be enforced on Wednesday, the 18th of March, all the way till the 31st of March. That's 2 weeks of a restriction for travel. I'm sure details of the special announcement will be made available to you on awani.com.
And the key message from this whole travel restriction order is, of course, to keep calm and don't be panic. Don't go panic buying, don't go...
Don't lose yourself in the whole... Absolutely keep calm. And I completely understand where the fear and frustration is coming from, or perhaps the uncertainty, because, again, this is the first time many of us are dealing with such a pandemic. However, again, as Prof. Adiba mentioned, these are urgent and wide-ranging measures. There, for a reason, many of the medical community were expecting it. Now, let's find out what Dr. Kor Sui King, a physician and public health expert, has to say about this. Dr. Kor is currently reading public policy at the University of Oxford. Now, he's been on the show many times, and it's a pleasure to have him back on the show. Hi, good evening, Dr. Kor. So, I'm sure you've also just had a few minutes to take a look at what the announcements were, the specific measures that were announced. But what was your first initial reaction? Was this a wide-ranging enough measure that's been announced for you?
Hello, Melissa, and hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back. You're right that a lot of us are taking a few minutes just to process exactly how this will impact our daily lives and whether or not it will be effective in combating the spread of COVID. But my initial reactions will be in several ways. The first one is many of us, while we were expecting it, it was a pretty dramatic escalation from almost no government reactions to extreme government reactions in a very short period of time. So there wasn't enough time, perhaps, for the population to psychologically get used to the idea that some restrictions would have been necessary. But be that as it may, I think the second quick reaction is, I think this reaction is probably a go big and go hard all at once initiative. And we have seen in many situations, for example, taking the parallel of the global financial crisis in 2008, when governments needed to pump in more liquidity and money into the system, they did this also to ensure public confidence. And if you do a lot of measures all at once, this could be helpful in taking control of the situation. And then returning some of that control over to the people, which is my third quick reaction, because if people were to be able to feel that the government has the situation under control, the government has their best interests at heart, and the government will be ultimately predictable in their next steps, then they will feel a bit more control over their daily lives. Those are my first few thoughts, Melissa, but really happy to dissect this a little bit more.
Okay,
so Dr. Kor, as you can see, many different countries have taken different approaches to this dealing with this pandemic. And as you can see, countries such as China, Italy, France, Spain and Denmark have taken drastic measures to a complete lockdown in a bid to stop the spread of the virus. Meanwhile, in South Korea, they opted for social distancing and mass testing. So can you talk a bit about what Malaysia can learn from all these other countries and what are the lessons learned?
Sure. Well, the first important lesson is that there is no one-size-fits-all solution. The word lockdown has been used, and I think in the next 1 or 2 days, we'll also use the words curfew, for example, when in fact this is actually, if I read the Malay translation correctly, an order for movement restriction. That's a very legal term. The medical and epidemiological term, when we talk about diseases, is to talk about the concept of social distancing. What China did of a lockdown and moving in the military and locking down in at one point about 200 or 400 million citizens, that is one form of social distancing, all the way to Italy's closure of public services and Denmark and Norway's closure of schools. Those are other forms of social distancing as well. So the legal term for what Malaysia is going through right now, to the best of my understanding, because I'm not a lawyer, is an order for restriction of movement, or a movement restriction order, not so much a curfew. If I think of a lockdown or a curfew, and I actually had to go to my mom to ask her this very quickly, and the both of us would think that the last time Malaysia had a lockdown or a curfew was perhaps in 1969 after the May 13 riots. Right now, what we're having in Malaysia is not necessarily a lockdown or a curfew. I think we should be careful with those words so as not to create unnecessary panic, but a movement restriction order so that we can implement a lot more social distancing. If I deconstruct that the six specific steps that are taken, all these are measures to increase the social distance. But these measures will probably be necessary for us to limit the spread of COVID because it will firstly limit the spread. Secondly, it will break the complacency that is surrounding the Malaysian population. Mm. We see in recent days that we've got multiple large events of hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of people, and they're still congregating in events. So perhaps one quick advantage of this temporary order to restrict movement, a form of social distancing, is that it breaks the complacency of Malaysians and forces us to take this situation much more seriously.
Right. I like that you brought that up, Swee Keng, that you know, breaking the complacency of Malaysians. I also want to talk a little bit about the government reaction to this. You talked a little bit about this was quite a dramatic reaction, go big or go home. Now, help us understand, when it comes to dealing with outbreaks like the COVID-19 outbreak, for instance, how important is speed in dealing with a crisis, with crises such as this? I mean, often you see that difficult preemptive decisions made by governments are seen to be an overreaction by the public. How would you comment on that?
Mm. This is true that this particular reaction right now, the order to restrict movement temporarily, could be seen as an overreaction. And in some ways, the Malaysian government has been perhaps a little slow in instituting some measures of social distancing. But let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about the possible overreaction. During an outbreak, every decision can be questioned. Let's talk a little bit about the cruise ship. Should we let it dock in Malaysia? Should we not let it dock in Malaysia? Keeping them on board is bad. Letting them go out is bad. Having a curfew or a lockdown or an order to restrict movement is bad, but we also might have a necessity for it right now. While we're in the process of making the decision, speed is obviously important, Melissa, but also some consideration for the next steps for the government of Malaysia beyond this order, because eventually we will reach around the 25th of March. And all of us will be wondering, will they extend the orders of movement restriction? And that, I think, is something that the government needs to be very careful in thinking. In a sense, we must introduce an element of predictability. So speed is important, but predictability is even more important. If the citizens of Malaysia can see that the government's response is predictable, that we can see what's going to happen next, instead of perhaps a little surprising us with quite a large set of measures all at once, if we're able to slowly escalate up and slowly de-escalate down, the government becomes more predictable and people will become more, shall we say, calm and less prone to panic. A third element of speed is one. The second one is predictability. And a third element, now, and here, Melissa, is the element of proportionality. Outbreaks are moving very fast and much faster than sometimes governments are able to handle and even understand, forget unhandle, just understanding where the outbreak is going. So if we're able to have proportional responses that are good enough, large enough or small enough to the size of the problem, I think this is a crucial consideration as well. So it's speed, it's predictability, it's also proportionality. And I invite all of us, actually, including the government, to very seriously consider the interaction between speed, predictability and the proportionality of responses, especially as we're thinking about whether or not to extend or to cancel this outbreak as we approach the 31st of March.
Yes. So Swee Keng, based on what you said, basically, what I could gather is it sounds like the travel restriction order is the first step to perhaps a more stringent move. Are we looking at that? Could Malaysians expect this restriction order to be escalated to maybe a partial or full lockdown? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a whole spectrum, you know. On one small angle, I think there are six measures that have been announced, and some of them are on one end of the angle, which is a little very reasonable, very mild. For example, we will close down schools or close down universities. That seems quite reasonable, although I still believe they should have been sensitizing the population instead of announcing all six measures all at once.
Right.
And then we go to the other end of the spectrum, for example, which is no foreign travel, so no Malaysians can leave, and no inbound travel, so no one can come into Malaysia. So that's a little closer to the middle of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, yes, we can roll out the military, we can roll out the police, we can enforce a strict curfew where nobody leaves the home at all. But I don't think this is something that we should do or we even need to do. That is something very unprecedented during wartime. While we're at war against coronavirus, I don't believe that the situation warrants us to escalate that to getting RELA involved or the police to actively enforce these curfews or nobody leaves after 8 p.m. or things like that. We're not in that kind of a war footing right now.
Okay.
So the suite of solutions that have been provided right now appear to be a shock to the system. This is true. But once you internalize it a little bit, you realize, instead of introducing them one by one, the government has decided to introduce them all at once. It's a bit surprising to us, but I think Malaysia can still manage the situation, especially if we think about potential unintended consequences and try to mitigate those.
Okay, I have in the final minute that we have, I just want to know, a lot of us are kind of reeling from this announcement. How do you think we should, you know, deal with this, keep our humanity during a time of fear and uncertainty?
Melissa, we need a national effort. All of Malaysia needs a national effort to unite and combine ourselves and to think about other people, our parents, not just ourselves, our community, not just ourselves, our family and broader neighbourhood, not just ourselves. And this requires us to perhaps do two very specific things. The first one is to prepare for unintended consequences. And this is all of society, not just the government. If you close down school, then 5 million children will stay at home and they require childcare. And nurses and doctors and pharmacists will now be faced with a dilemma. Should I care for my child at home because there's nobody else, or do I go to the hospitals and save lives? And these are the kind of very difficult unintended consequences that we must be very careful about. Let's think about unintended consequences not only for ourselves but also for other people. And I think that's one very important thing. And secondly, Melissa, this is a national effort. In the sense that Malaysia has recently gone through a period where we've had political turmoil, we're perhaps very uncertain and feel very powerless about where we are right now. But this outbreak presents a crisis, an opportunity for us to love one another, to watch out for one another, because we're only as strong as our weakest link. It's in our interest to look out for somebody else, to care for somebody else, because if that person becomes unwell or is abused or for whatever reason as a result of the situation, then the effects might come back to us as well.
Yeah.
We should love one another. This is a national effort. We should unite because it's also in our self-interest.
Well, thank you so much. Well said. Thank you for joining us this evening, helping us put all of this into perspective. Fortunately, that's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. I hope we left you with a little bit more information about the special order, restriction order, as announced by the Prime Minister earlier. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Hafiz Marzuki. We'll be back with another episode of Consider This tomorrow. Thank you for watching and good night.